Zone.
A very good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, when the delegates to NPP conference in Tamale gave their verdict, only one member of the old executive secured the pass mark. Is it a case of party supporters becoming more discerning? How ready is the new NPP executive to lead the party into victory in 2 years' time? Operation Vote Them Out. This was a battle cry from some NPP bigwigs. Are they happy that one of the old executives killed through? And is the ruling NDC shaking by the new leadership of the opposition NPP? We'll hear from the NDC chief scribe, Johnson Esiedu, in Kitsia. Do stay tuned in the next hour as we discuss these issues on our program tonight. You can also join the discussions by text 0266-677570. 0266-677570. But first, Rosemary Gaze is here with a summary of the day's news.
The long-awaited Legon Madina Dentang overhead busy road is expected to be completed in 3 months. President John Mahama, who inspected works on the road, urged motorists not to take advantage of the good nature of the road to speed needlessly. Political parties have been advised to take lessons from the NPP National Delegates Conference. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Deputy Communications Director of the CPP, Ernest Afram, said the results from the NPP's conference bring to light that the people are on high alert and are watching the performance of politicians. The Energy Commission has confiscated more than 5,000 imported refrigerators into the country through the Thermoport. The Minister of Environment, Science and Technology, Dr. Joe Otienje, said second-hand refrigerators affect the country's energy conservation and is also dangerous to human health, hence the need to wage war against recalcitrant importers who flout the law. And the police administration has directed regional commanders in charge of the Accra-Akulao, Accra-Cape Coast, Takoradi highways to put in strategic measures to prevent accidents on roads on those roads during this Easter season. The directive was in response to the high accident rate recorded on the said routes in previous Easter seasons.
It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Behind the News is also live on Garden City Radio 92.1 in Kumasi, Radio Savannah 91.2 in Tamale, and Unique FM 95.7 in Accra. The NPP delegates on Saturday settled on the individuals who will lead the party into the 2016 elections. With the election of national executives of the NPP over, the next hurdle for the party is choosing a flag bearer. How is the NPP managing the divisions that emerged before the Congress, and how will it strategize for the task ahead for which the old executives were shown the exit, with the exception of Otiko Jaba, who retained her position as women's organizer? We will be speaking with John Bwedu, who is the new national organizer of the NPP. But first, how was the general security situation during and after the NPP conference? Let's go to the phone lines to speak with DCOP Ken Yeboah, who is the Northern Regional Police Commander. Good evening, Senya. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well. And if you could raise your voice a bit, how will you describe security before, during, and after the NPP conference?
I think it was better. Let me sum it as better, but not the best.
Why was it better and not the best? If you can go into details a bit.
Okay. Better in the sense that I think from Friday to Sunday, when the conference started and ended, you know, everything went on smoothly. But the Thursday, that is the Thursday before the conference, you know, we had some shooting incidents, and which nearly marred the whole the relative peace that we were expecting. And so that's why I'm saying that it is better. But on the whole, there was nothing bad during the period. Nothing, no incident was recorded during the conference. That's why I'm saying that it is better.
But then, while the public is happy about the peaceful conference in Tamale, the concern that with the thorough security arrangements made, you could not pick signals to enable you to nip in the bud that unfortunate shooting incident you referred to during the conference.
Sorry again. Your line is a bit distorting, so I'm not...
Well, yeah. I'm saying that while the public is happy about the peaceful conference in Tamale, the concern is that with the thorough security arrangements made, you could not pick signals to enable you to nip in the bud that unfortunate shooting incident you just referred to.
Yes, we did everything, but that one actually eluded us. And I must say that, you know, these are one... Sometimes it's one thing that doesn't okay. It happens everywhere, but I'm not saying it's the best. But this has got nothing to do with the conference per se, and that's what I want people to understand. That the event that took place, that is the shooting or the firing of the people, did not have anything to do with the actual conference. But it's part of it did okay, all right, and I'm saying that. At least we should have, you know, gathered enough evidence or intelligence to stop it. But actually, it is okay.
And have you made any arrests in connection with that incident?
For now, I will not want to disclose what we have done so far, because sometimes when you put it on air, you know, the others will always run away, and so we will try to keep it to ourselves. So. The appropriate time when we would give it out. I will talk to you about it.
But has the members of the public been forthcoming with information as to which group of people committed the offense? Are you getting info from the public?
Yes, we've been getting information, and then we are also using our intelligence officers to do a lot of underground information gathering, and then we are trying to fix the information and see what we can come out of it. And that has contributed to a little bit process that we are talking.
But let's talk again about the security arrangements. How did the reinforcement from the national headquarters help with general security on the ground? You had help. And if you could raise your voice a bit.
Yes. What we requested was that, looking at our numerical strength, is it okay now?
Yes, it's much better.
Yeah, okay. Looking at our numerical strength, we requested that the national headquarters should assist us. And so we had personnel from Borno-Ahafo region, Borno-Ahafo Upper East region, and then the national headquarters. And I think with the numbers, if you have numbers and then you also have other resources, like we had vehicles, enough vehicles to patrol during the day and night, and then we have numbers. You know, looking at it, we had every policeman was policing about, let me say, about 80 or 90 delegates. I think it was excellent. And we were also motivated by the fact that, you know, we had to be committed. And then because of the incident that happened, we made sure that, you know, nothing happened to disrupt the conference. And then, you know, people, because of the negative reportage about the northern region in particular, we wanted to show our professionalism to ensure that we do not register any negative incident. So the officers were committed, we had the resources, and then we wanted to show our professionalism. And so that contributed to the success that
was there any difficulty in enforcing security during the conference itself and after?
Yes, because some of the delegates, were determined that they wanted their candidate to win. And so they were trying to do everything possible to make sure that that particular candidate, of their choice, emerged victorious. And so when you ask them to maybe sit or go and sit down so that, everybody will have enough opportunity or view of what was actually happening, people were not prepared to. And then people were also bent on, ensuring that there was no rigging anywhere. So it made the whole thing very, very difficult. And everybody wanted to be part of it. People who were not expected to be there also wanted to. So we, at the end of the day, we arrested some people with fake, identification, that is accreditation. I think people had to print more accreditation, which was not accepted by the organizing committee.
Those arrested, would they be prosecuted?
Yeah, we handed them over to the organizing committee. And then we also realized that some people came in, collected their address, accreditation cards, went out, and gave it to people, and then they will also enter. So at the end of the day, if we were to have counted the number of persons, delegates and observers who were inside, realized that they were more than the people who were supposed to be there, especially with observers. And then people who were wearing T-shirts, which according to the organizers, were not official T-shirts, given out to certain people. So these are some of the challenges that we face.
And how about cooperation from the media in their quest to seek information?
I think it was excellent. It was very excellent. I must say, for once, people reported positively about the conduct of police personnel, and then the people in general, delegates, and then Tamale in general. So I think it was very, very excellent. People were also prepared to share their experience. I think it offered a lot of journalists the first time information. A lot of people had not visited Tamale before, but they sit in Accra and Kumasi and report about incidents happening in Tamale. But this time when they came, I'm sure the perception that a lot of journalists had changed since they came to Tamale. And I must say that some of the delegates comported themselves very, very well. And then the people of Tamale were prepared to prove to the whole world that, Tamale is a metropolis where people have, a very good, they wanted to showcase their hospitality. So I think generally, it works.
Briefly, what would you do differently if an opportunity to oversee a conference of any political party comes again?
I think we will have to intensify our public education, and then we will also have to keep up security very early, because this time I think what we realized was that the picking up of the security took us some few days before. It should have started earlier. I think that was one of the things that we'll have to meet regularly with the organizers of the event. I think that will also help us. But at some point in time, they were not forthcoming. And that also contributed to some of the challenges that we encountered. But on the whole, I think it was successful.
But briefly, before you go, how is the situation so far regarding Bimbila and Nakpanduri? How is the security situation there?
Bimbila, it's okay, very, very okay now. The parties have agreed. We sat down and they are now working out the modalities for the burial and then sentiment of the region.
Mm. All right.
I think that one is okay, but with the Langpandiri too, I think the situation is also okay. We have beefed up security with the imposition of the curfew, which has also helped. So the place is calm now.
DCOP, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. DCOP Kenny Eboah is a Northern Regional Police Commandant, still on NPP. We had scheduled to speak with John Boyd, who is the new national organizer of the NPP, but currently his phone is off. But there are speculations that the new national executives of the NPP are aligned to a political bloc and would seek to pursue their interest. How true is this? Anthony Cabo is with the NPP and he's joined us on the line for a reaction to this. It's unfortunate we don't have him on the line. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Is behind the news is also live on Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, and I understand Anthony Cabo is back on the line. Tony, good evening, welcome to the program.
Good evening,
Tony. Are these new executives in to pursue the interests of any individual in the party?
Good evening, and thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity to speak to the country. Yes, it's quite clear that the party at this delegate conference in Tamale wanted a particular set of people in office to steer the affairs of the party to victory in 2016. I was particularly pleased that Mr. Paul Afoko emerged victorious in this particular context, especially given the the fact that he had laid out clearly a program of action which the party agreed, and you would agree with me that his victory was quite emphatic in that way, because his plan and his program of action, what he wanted to deliver for the party, is certainly to bring the party to power. And I believe that Governor Japong also, very, very fantastic, eloquent, well-organized, indeed very disciplined person, also emerged as the General Secretary. And of course, John Wedu, it goes without saying, his competence, his experience with the grassroots, having been a former National Youth Organizer, having been a Constituency Secretary before, he has first-hand, touch with the grassroots of our party, is known, his analytical powers, very, very, very powerful. So he comes in also with a wealth of experience. Same Wuku, certainly one of the very eloquent young people in our party, a youth activist right from his days in school at Legon. I have known him closely from that point. And so I think that with the kind of work that we have done at the Youth Wing, he would be an able representative of the Youth Front so we can mobilize the party for victory in 2016. Otiko, you know, is an old fox. She has been in the business before. She understands the enterprise, and so she comes in with a wealth of experience. So clearly, the party's decision to bring in all these people back, you know, with all the experiences they have, is quite positive for the NPP. And more important is even the victory of Paul Afoko, because, you know, don't forget, we have a president hailing from the northern part of Ghana, and secondly, the NPP's delegates wanted to send a clear message, because 60 years after the formation of the Northern People's Party, we are back to our roots. And in fact, this was the theme for our delegate congress: our roots, our strength, and our future. And I believe that the NPP has dealt with one of the most important issues of going back to its roots. And at this delegate conference, in fact, the Paul Afoko was elected in Tamale. Don't forget also that when the Popular Front Party was formed, its first national chairman was Tolonga Yakubu, and we commemorated 60 years of his life, and the fact that these were the architects who put together the Northern People's Party that metamorphosized into the United Party, and eventually the Progress Party, Popular Front Party. And when we came into the democratic process, the Dankwa Abuja Dumbo Club was formed, which laid the foundation for the establishment of today's new patriotic party. So going back to our roots was quite significant in this Congress, and especially when we had this conference also to honor one of the heroes of our party, and one of the giants of our party, Alhaji Aliyu Mahama, who had been our two-time vice president, and in fact the first Northern Muslim vice presidential candidate, and also Ghana's vice president of our republic. So it was quite significant for the party.
I'll come back to you in a minute. Just hold on the line for me. There was a strong clamor for a change of the old guard, and but for the National Women's Organizer opposition, the campaigners for change had their wish for a new crop of NPP national executives granted. So now that the proponents of change have had their request acceded to, what are these elected executives going to do differently from the old? Frederick Oparianza is one of the persons who championed for the change, and he joins us on the line. Good evening, Mr. Oparianza, and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening, and thank you.
Have you had your desire met now that virtually a new crop of national executives have been voted into office?
Well, my desire really is to see the MPP back in power. This is just one of several events and processes that the party would have to go through for me to truly see my desire come to fruition. My initial clamor to see change at the leadership of the National Party was not specifically directed at any individual, but as I specifically mentioned that we had an interview on this issue, it was simply the fact that I was convinced that looking at what had transpired in the last election, the previous set of executives did not have what it would take to take this party to power. And I'm definitely happy at the end of events, but I'm also looking forward to these executives quickly settling into their offices and then making sure that they will put in place all the necessary plans, strategies, and start looking for the resources that we require to be able to get this party back into office.
Are you saying your campaign was not against Jake and his colleagues?
I am saying that my campaign was not against any personality. My campaign was basically to say that we were given a specific mandate and you could not deliver that mandate. And I was not just engaging in that campaign because I wanted to see a new set of national officers just for the sake of having a new set of national officers. But I wanted to see a new set of national officers who will be able to take the party to power. And that is why I'm very flattered to say that now that that has come to pass, I expect to see these officers quickly begin working on addressing several critical issues which I believe is confronting this party. I heard the question you posed to my younger brother, Tony, about whether the executives are into work for one particular individual. Clearly, there is a perception out there that our party is developed along certain camps, if you will, or certain interest groups. The thing is that when people are going to vote, it is whatever they perceive which ultimately drive what informs their decision to choose the person they will vote for. So if somebody does not want to vote for a party that he thinks is fractured, he thinks is split along some lines, then it will not matter whether it is true or false. As long as he thinks that your party is fractured along those lines, he will not vote for you. So they have a task. The first task at hand is to ensure that we can present a true semblance of unity to the people of this country so that people know that the MPP is truly united and is ready to take on the mantle of governance once again in this country. The second thing that I expect to see them engage in is to look at the party structure and begin to look for resources and resource them properly to ensure that before you even go through the process of electing a flag bearer and getting a flag bearer in place, the party will be properly oiled. Remember, there's been a lot of things said about the fact that flag bearers come and then they set up parallel structures and all these things. If a flag bearer comes and you have already oiled your party and you've resourced it very well, why would that flag bearer say that I will not use the vehicle that you have made it ready for me to go and win power? And most often than not, you would find party executives actually waiting for the election of a flag bearer before resource mobilization occurs. I think the current crop of executives, especially from what I've seen of Mr. Bolafoko, he has the capacity to do resource mobilization, and I would like to encourage him and his team to begin to oil the parts of the party machinery that will enable it function properly. Again, there's been a lot of debate about the reasons why we are not in power. We all know that we went through this court process after the pronouncement of the Electoral Commission about the results of the election. Everything indicates that we won the election. We went to court. Everything showed that we had a good case, and yet we are not in power. We need to get back to the roots, down to where the elections occurred. Ask that polling station agent why he signed a document that he was not supposed to sign. We need to really get a handle on this matter so that going into 2016, we will know exactly how we have to structure the party and the planning of how we are going to monitor and ensure that the same fate that befell us in 2012 does not befall us again in 2016.
Mr. Oparianza, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Frederick Oparianza is MP for Suhum. And Tony, thanks for staying there on the line. Talking about the new national executives, if Alan Chamartin says, for instance, and I'm paraphrasing, the election of the new party leader signifies a change in direction for the way forward, how do you understand it?
Well, I think that it's indeed a right call by Alan Sherman. Thing is, he says that because we are seeing a new set of executives apart from Otiko, who was retained. So, of course, it's a new set of people, and I believe that the party has bought into the message of the national chairman, Mr. Bolafoko. They bought into the message of Governor Jeppong, who in fact had indicated that, look, he had worked with all presidential candidates in this party, and so he had what it takes to unite the party. I think the biggest call in this our party is unity. And like my senior brother Oparianza intimated, that there is a perception, and this perception in this party can only be dealt with. And yesterday I was so impressed by the chairman's comments when he first spoke to the media, that his victory is a symbol of the party united, in fact. And that was the beginning of the process. I believe that the MPP needed to heal, and that is why going back to our roots became very, very imperative. The Congress in Tamale is a spiritual renewal the MPP went into. I was particularly pleased that I picked the number three position for Mr. Bolafoko during the balloting at the national headquarters, and eventually, he came out victorious in that particular election. So I think that his ideas, his plans for the MPP, his motivation to serve this party, and his desire and hunger to see the MPP back to power cannot be downplayed.
Well,
so the NDP should be, in fact, abridged for a different style of politics, a different style of organization, and a different style of opposition to this particular government. And I believe that Bolafoko and his team can lead it. John Boedu, very fantastic, very experienced, Samir Wuku, a very energetic and mobilizer who can organize the party's youth and, like Oparia has indicated, oil the machine of our party so that we can prepare whoever eventually emerges victorious at our party's presidential primary will have a very strong, solid, united party preparing to capture power in 2016.
Well, Tony, again, I'll indulge you to hold on briefly for me. We have on the line your new national chairman, Paul Afoko. Good evening and congratulations, sir.
Good evening, and I say a good evening to your listeners as well.
Chairman, is there anything strikingly new that you think these new executives can bring on board or are bringing on board your party?
Well, there is a lot that is new, and it is all captured in the new Plan for Power, the strategic document with which we are going to win power in 2016. That is what is new. What is also new is that this party has shown a spirit and a willingness to unite. You just need to take one look at the executive that emerged on Saturday, and you will see that this executive is representative of the party. You will see that the party rank and file. The party has given its marching orders to us. It has told us in very clear terms that the team that is to lead this party must play as a team. And therefore, that is symbolically alone is new.
Well, Mr. Afoko, the NPP some 4 years back touted and hailed the immediate past executives when they were voted into office as the men to bring change and power to the NPP, yet they couldn't. Now some of you are getting the same praises. Are you sure the daggers would not be out against you in 4 years' time for these new leaders?
You see, when you say that, I think what you fail to recognize that this is a process. And in every human endeavor, we build on our experiences as we go along. We today, who are at the helm for affairs of this party, are not standing on the ruins or the rubble of a party. No, we are not. So, the previous executive have built some value. We stand today from their experiences. We will build a value, the value that has already been created. So I can tell you that learning from the experiences of the previous executive, and then mind you, I said executive. Therefore, I am referring to previous executives of this party from inception. We are going to wrestle power in 2016.
And in what way are you working with the old executives to champion the party's cause?
Early this year. We are yet to have our first formal meeting. We've only just been sworn in over the weekend on a Saturday. Today is a Sunday. Tomorrow, we get to work. Tomorrow, the process begins. The process of getting this party into that right frame of mind. You see, the process that this party has gone through has been a deliberate one. We've gone through an election, we've gone through a Supreme Court petition, and we've gone through the process of healing and rejuvenating the party. Now we have arrived at the pinnacle. That is getting the national officers in place. We just need to take a look at the composition of even the regional officers, and you will see that the message that the party is giving is inconsistent right through to the national level. It's early days here. From tomorrow, the action begins. and then come back, talk to this party. Don't just seek me out, talk to the party. Inform us. And you will feel and see and hear the difference.
Well, Mr. Afoko, do you think your personality and image was in any way damaged in the lead up to the elections? Looking at all the mudslinging, having to hand a strong ammunition to the NDC?
No. I mean, how? I don't know by what stretch of the imagination that you can come up with this. I mean, allegations were made. And I can't remember. I just can't remember, maybe you will have to help me out, that in this country of ours, a national chairman has been subjected to the investigations of Interpol and has come out clean. Clean as a whistle, squeaky clean. Where is the damage? Tell me where the damage is.
Well, Ms. Afoko, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight, and congratulations.
I would want to seize this opportunity. I would want to seize this opportunity, if I may.
Please go ahead.
To say it once more to my party that the time to unite is here. And in unity, we will come back to power. Please unite. This is my seventh appeal to the whole party. And I believe that the party has listened to the message when I went out campaigning. And we are on course. We are on track.
We want to thank you for your time with us tonight. And congratulations once again.
God bless you all. God bless you all.
Paul. Paul Afoko is the new national chairman of the NPP. And Tony, you had your chairman on the line. Does he give you hope for election 2016?
In fact, he does. He does. His energy, his focus, his genuine desire for unity in our party cannot be overemphasized. And I believe that the party has listened to him, and many of us are particularly excited because he will provide us an opportunity. And I think that all these issues about allegations having been made against him will even make him more credible in the face of the Ghanaian people, especially the kind of baptism of fire which he has gone through. And his point about genuine unity has really, really elated many of us in the party. I am particularly happy, and I want to congratulate him. I sent him a congratulating message by text, but I'll publicly say I want to congratulate Uncle Paul Afoko and for this wonderful election. And don't forget, his name is Awentemi. Awentemi in Buli means God has given me. So his election is quite spiritual to me as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Tony, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Anthony Kawi with the NPP is behind and he's live on Radio Ghana. Let's read some of your text messages. And Idrisu AB Fuseni Tamale says, if Jake and Sejong are okay with this, his declaration of Tamale conference results, then I will call on them to apologize to the EC. Andrew Manga in Boku says, congratulations to security personnel who handled the entire exercise of the NPP in Tamale despite the unfortunate shooting incident. And Landlord in Boga D Line says, I think the NPP delegates have done well by changing their old executives. I hope they will do same to the flag bearer. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. And Jacob Bichebi Lamte is the immediate past chairman of the NPP, and he's joining us on the line. Good evening, Jake, and welcome to the program.
How very kind of you to have me. Good evening to you.
How are you reliving the moments after the Tamale conference?
Well, I'm not. I mean, the Tamale conference is past. and now must concentrate on the future, not on the past.
But as an incumbent chairman, you could only manage 66 votes. Was there anything you did wrong to garner such an abysmal number of votes?
I must have done something wrong. But obviously, if I had done all the things right, I would have got more votes. But I didn't, so there must have been something that went wrong. But exactly what it is actually immaterial, whether it was 66 or 660. Well, at the end of the day, we have a new chairman, okay, who we all congratulate. We have a new team who we all congratulate. And now the time has come for us to get behind a new chairman and the new team and help them to put MPP into office.
Director, you are reported as saying that probably your inability to crack the whip when there was all sorts of indiscipline may have cost your job. Is that the case?
Well, I think it's part of the thing that people felt that I should have been doing more of, that there should have been more cracking of the whip, that there was too much freedom of speech within the MPP, and it was very destructive.
So what lies next for Jay's political future?
No, we don't know. I mean, it's a funny old game, politics. But the main thing is to gather people and encourage people to get behind the executive, the new executive, and help them to do all the things that have to be done. It's not going to be easy. Just because this government is proving to be the worst government that we've ever had does not mean that they're going to be just a walkover. We have to make sure that we organize to win the next election and win it at the polling stations and never again have to go to court.
So what advice will you offer the new executives, particularly the one who directly took over from you, Paul Afoku?
Well, as I said, I mean, elsewhere, that you'll need to be patient and tolerant, but not too tolerant, because too much tolerance can also be construed as a negative. And that, I think people like to see some force behind the discipline. And so you'll need to put that in place. You'll need to get everybody on board and make sure that people realize that he and his team are there for the whole party and not for any group within the party. And I'm sure all these are things that he knows and that he will be tackling.
In effect, you are saying that he should be ready to crack the whip when the need arises.
Inshallah, yes, it should be, yes. Yes.
All right, Mr. Obetebi Lamte, want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Jake Obetebi Lamte is the immediate past chairman of the NPP. And we also ask political watchers what new things to expect from the new national executive. Dr. Evans Aguidako is with the Political Science Department, University of Ghana, and just joined us. Good evening, Dr. and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
Doc, were there any surprises at the NPP conference when the delegates gave the mandate to the Paul Afoku-led leadership?
Not really. I think that if you really follow events closely, there were indications that the rank and file, of course, those who really had the opportunity of deciding the fate of these important, you know, functionaries of the party were really going to change, you know, the leadership. What was a bit surprising was the total overhaul that we saw. But we were certain that some of the key actors were going to go. A mixture of mixed feelings, even though we were not totally surprised. I thought that maybe the total overhaul was perhaps what was surprising, even though one would have expected that a significant number of them were going to go.
Doc, in situations of divisions in a political party, what problem does it bring to
people who replace the old executives as experienced in the NPP conference?
You see, you are looking at a party that is, of course, parties, as you are well aware, are ubiquitous as far as our democratic systems are concerned. They are key actors in there. That is why we expect them to exhibit internal, you know, democratic credentials. But as you well indicated, factions do exist. Even the household, factions do exist. And so when they do exist, it's a test of leadership. How really leaders will be able to heal the wounds, you know, plug the roof within the system, deal with the cleavages that exist. And so you can have a united front to, you know, confront any emergencies as they arise. You have a party, a political party, which is very much interested in capturing political power. It's one of the key features, apart from the fact that they must also have continuity and so on. So building the structures at that grassroots level up to the national level will be critical. And you expect that if new leaders have, the new leaders who have been voted into power, they will have a Herculean task. And the task will be, they will have to hit the ground running to see that they will be able to unite the various factions within, some people will call it a group of factions. But of course, I would say they are factions. If the factions do exist, then you must necessarily see how best you leverage, especially how best you harmonize the interests of all these key actors. And you have to also hammer home the key idea is that the party stands to benefit from uniting their ranks than to stand united, stand divided. You don't forget that the party has an objective. An objective really is what the organization will be aimed at ensuring that your party is attractive as far as, garnering the necessary support are concerned, so you can become attractive and win more support, and then subsequently capture political power. Don't forget that politics is a game of numbers. And certainly, maybe you have some people who we refer to as floating voters. They may be looking at other variables, apart from maybe the party's position on various national issues, how responsible the party has been for position, how organized it has been, how close, knit a party has been. Of course, apart from the major policies and programs that you want to roll out, all those key actors, factors really will be fundamental in winning souls, if you like, onto the fold of the party, and subsequently be a force to reckon with in any election. Yes.
Doc, looking at the total overhaul of the party's leadership, there are assertions that almost the total overhaul signals a change in its presidential nomination for the 2016 elections. Do you see it that way?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You see, there are two different, we are dealing with two different ball games altogether. So when you're comparing the Frank Vera and the executives, like comparing apples and oranges, even though they are the same fruit, they perform different, functions. You have a Frank Vera. Of course, if you look at what happened there, the response of the various actors in there to even Nanesa arrival, that should tell you that the man is almost an institution within the party. Of course, that is not to say that the party doesn't have other capable hands who on any day can step in the shoes of Nana and still, prove very capable of improving the fortunes of the party. Yes, there have been a change of leadership as far as the executives are concerned. And maybe what the thinking of these actors is that the key actors who voted is that we haven't been too happy with perhaps the way leadership officialdom, has conducted itself. Maybe we have to change our style. There is a need for a paradigm shift. We need to really put in place an administrative machinery that has the capacity of maybe supporting whoever a flag bearer will be to present a very potent force, in the next elections. Of course, the next election is fun, but I think one of the critical things that we also be looking at as a political party, any political party for that matter, will be to see how they will build the structures. Any political party, it is in our collective interest. In fact, it's a general will that all our actors who seek to control us or seek to rule us, various political parties, will build necessary structures in a much more democratic way, much more transparent way, much more accountable way. They must be much more responsible. And once they sanitize the system and we operate politics in a very decorous manner, we'll make our politics and very attractive. And that is where we attract all capable hands to be on deck. And that is one of the surest ways by which we can mobilize the human and material resources for the development of this country. We shouldn't portray politics as though it's a dirty game. Even if it's a dirty game, that means the players themselves are dirty. And so we need to sanitize the system. And sanitizing the system will attract very capable hands that will help us surmount the key problems of the day. You see, you know, campaigning and winning election is not the same as actually governing. Yes. You can go on a platform and see all kinds of things. But when really it comes to business of really governing and translating the propaganda issues and the promises that you have in your, a litany of promises that you have in your manifesto into real workable public policies and programs, that is where you need a mixture of what I call men of action and men of thought. And for me, that is significant. And we must sanitize our system to for the system to be effective, so we can attract all, you know, those capable hands that can help us, you know, galvanize this nation better than we all wish that it will be. Yes.
Well, I'll come back to you, Doug, but briefly, we are sorry we are unable to bring you the interview with the General Secretary of the NDC. His lines are currently not going through. And coming back to you, Doug, looking at the delegates, is it a case of party supporters becoming more discerning when it comes to giving out the verdict of choosing the new executives rather than older executives?
Is it, I think one of the signals is saying is that, look, you need to deliver. And you need to deliver on your promises. Of course, you have the core of this new executive had lost, you know, two elections in 2008-2012. And so, and of course, various reasons have been abused, various arguments have been advanced. Whatever it is, I think what the rank and file will be looking out for is that, what is that, even if you think that the processes were not fair, or if you think that we were not smart enough, where were you to split? You didn't put in place the structure. So at whatever point that you had, or whichever way you want to look at it, leadership cannot absorb itself from blame. Otherwise, what will you do there? You know, so I think generally they are not happy with perhaps what has happened, and they think that the party, you know, hasn't run out of ideas, or men and women of stature, and men and women of capacity, men and women who have their reflexes and have competencies to really step in the shoes of these key actors. You know, let's not take the credit away from this outgoing executive too. They have done a yeoman's job, except that they have been able to deliver that critical tool that the party will want, or any party functionary will want, and that is political power. And so as long as we've not been able to deliver that, rank and file will not be too happy. And I believe strongly they do want to, as it were, gamble again, that will let us take the same. But if you look at even the background of the new executives, you see, these are no novices, you understand? They are not new in the terrain. They know the ropes. And if you single out, if you want to unpack them and critically assess the background of each and every one of them, you realize that they have the capacity on their own. I mean, they could hold their own against any opposition in this country. And so it's like they have decided that, okay, let us pick from the broad masses, I mean, the materials that we have within the party, and constitute a team that think, you understand, or the party, I'm talking about the individual actors, think will help them prove a very potent force to contend with, you know, in subsequent election, at least the next election, yes.
Would you also say the operation Vote Them Out, which was championed by some MPP bigwigs, worked in electing the new people?
You know, all these actors work somehow. You know, I've always argued against, and I've told my students to disregard what I call universal explanation. So in any analysis, I always encourage my students to look out for several variables which may explain the same, phenomenon, the same, issue. And so when you have, don't forget that we in this country, whether we like it or not, we are a country, we are made up of people who really respect authority. It's only, sometimes party politics which tend to be dividing our ranks. And when it comes to party politics, and some people will be on the airwaves and maybe casting insinuations at some critical actors who have really lived a life that is worthy of people who can even easily pass as role models for all of us. And that is where all of us, the media, all of us academics, and all the well-meaning Ghanaians must join hands in sanitizing even the public discourse so that we will be civil and decorous. You see, but put that aside, and you realize that an average Ghanaian really respects authority. And so when we go back to our families, in our churches, in our schools, and so on and so on, there may be a few miscreants and deviants here and there, but by and large, one of our people respect authority. So when you have men and women of a certain standing within a particular organization, literally clamoring for a total overhaul, it may have some effect on the psyche of those who are really going to vote. And that perhaps may have done some trick. Because, sometimes the people think that, these authorities, these actors are perhaps closer to the centers of decision making. They are closer to the centers of decision making. And perhaps they have access to some, or they are privy to some information that we don't have. And if they are saying that, hey, look, there's a time, or there's a time for you to jettison all the old executives and bring on board new actors, they are likely to go with them. And so I will agree, concede that in a way may have played some role out there,
All right, Doctor, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Doctor
Evans Agridako is with the Political Science Department, University of Ghana. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Let's see some of your text messages. And Abdullahi Zakaria and UDSA, as I say, kudos to the EC for the excellent work done at the NPP National Delegates Conference in Tamale. More hope for Ghanaians. Isifu Yakubu in Mampobi says, I see the vetting committee knew beforehand that Mr. Afoko would win the race. That was why they nearly disqualified him. The NPP has come out of the Tamale conference more united and well positioned to recapture power from the NDC government. And it says, Tikuma says, Paul Afoko's election may be good for NPP political fortunes in the north. And House Party in Kipko says, the tsunami that hit the old executives of NPP at Tamale will surely hit the general party come 2016, inshallah. And Monica Combs in Navrongo says, I am indeed scared of this new NPP executives, and so President John Mahama should patch up with all NDC gurus as they matter a lot. Kwabena Adako, UDS Navrongo says the absolute change of the national executive indicates that the people of Ghana need new leadership come 2016. Joshua from Sege Ada says, I thank God for the peaceful conference by the NPP, but the most worrying issue was that my best friend Jake was not retained in office. And this is where Edmund, you see me, kudos to the security personnel, Dan K says the NDC is shaking, not because of the new executives of the NPP, but its abysmal performance. And Abdul Rauf Ngumini says the newly elected national officials of the NPP should prepare for their first defeat come 2016 because of President Mahama's is Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. And this is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program. Rosemary Gazy read the summaries and George Kwaku controlled the sounds. My producers were Edmund Tete Writer Gamma, Phyllis Kofi, John Pobi, and Celestine Azzi. My name is Agatha Samoa, and you have a lovely night.